This message from God's Word is being brought to you by Brother Paul Springer at the Scenic Hills Church of Christ in Pensacola, Florida. He brings us a message entitled, Opportunities for Mentoring. And now, Brother Springer. And tonight, it's a little bit different lesson than maybe you sometimes get. We always do lessons that kind of tell us what we ought to do, right? Give us Bible knowledge. Well, tonight we are going to have that. But we're all going to spend a lot of time in application. And so tonight, the scriptures tell us that we need to individually learn the Word of God. That's what we've been singing about so far tonight. Matthew 11:29 for one, says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." We're to learn from Jesus. We're to study. Acts 17:11 talks about the Bereans. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So they even checked out Paul when he preached to them. And we're also to study for action. James 1:22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." And Hebrews 11, every one of those that we call the faith chapter says, by faith they did something, right? It's about not just learning it to know it, it's to learn it so that you can then do it. Collectively, as the body, we're to teach others. Matthew 28, verse 20. We're to even teach them, those that were baptized, to observe all things I have commanded you. Romans 10, 14 through 15. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? So we are to teach others. And we're to admonish one another. Colossians 3, 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. This can be done collectively, like in a sermon, or individually in Bible studies or just a conversation among people. It even includes rebuke. 2 Timothy 4:2, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching." Is that just for preachers? Is that just for the elders? We got one yes. Okay. No, that's for everybody, isn't it? As we encourage and admonish one another. Ephesians 4:15 tells us even to speak the truth in love, so that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, that is Christ. So not only to speak the truth, but also do it in love. And Proverbs 27:17, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." To grow and to be challenged, if all you did was read little kiddie books, are you going to be challenged at all and grow? See? So as we mature and grow, so should that which we are using to sharpen ourselves. And the expectation level goes up. This is also modeled. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." So again, be careful who you follow after and imitate. On the other hand, when you see a good example, follow it. Here's a little extra for you tonight. I always wondered why Jesus went to heaven after his resurrection. Why not just stay and teach, right? I mean, he's already been crucified on the cross. He's already been resurrected, and he could just stay and teach everybody, and everybody would follow him then, right? Well, first of all, it wasn't God's plan, but see, Jesus came for what? To show us the Father and how to live, right? Now, he then taught the apostles, who taught the disciples and the rest of everybody that wanted to listen and believe, and everybody that becomes a Christian then, as we studied this morning, starts imitating Christ. You see, actually, Christ is here in us. He's got 10,000. He's got a million people imitating him, preaching the word. That's a little easier plan then, wasn't it? So that's what we're talking about tonight. Paul sought to teach and train young ministers, like a father, a son relationship. 1 Corinthians 4:17, you've heard these quoted before. "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you," back to Corinth, "who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. 1 Timothy, a letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, to Timothy, a true son in the faith. He also did the same thing with Titus, Titus 1, 4, to Titus, a true son in our common faith. If you look at the early church in Acts 2, 42 through 46, there was a community there, wasn't it? They were meeting even on a daily basis, house to house, and they were supplying any need. Now, they didn't do any teaching that whole time, did they? No, they taught, they encouraged, they did all those things. Today, I want to talk about a concept that we're familiar with. We use the term mentor, usually in academic settings, right? If it's a sports setting, you don't really have a mentor, you have a coach, right? And we're familiar with this concept and these terms, but I wanted to show that it is also in the scriptures that this is used. In fact, let's go ahead and turn to Titus chapter 2. We'll spend some time here because Paul, writing to Titus, lays out a plan for a congregation here. But as for you, speak these things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in the faith and love and patience. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is opposed may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of our God and our Savior in all things. Okay, this is where we get that common phrase, the older teach the younger. But look at what he said teach. Did he say, make sure they know all about baptism? Make sure they, you know about assembly on Sunday, or any assembly? Did he say, make sure they understand how to about the eldership? That's an important thing, right? Is that in that list? See, this is a list about your life. This is a list on how we live, how we interact with people outside the church even. And so when we are learning how to do that, now I know it only takes some of you one lesson, and you know exactly how to, oh, I'll pick out a good one here. Love your husbands. Only takes one lesson and you know how to do that, right? No. And see, that is about experience. That is about different situation, different things you've been through, and mentoring, coaching, teaching someone that hasn't been through that on how to do it. And so this is where that, how do we go about doing this? Well, it's about our purpose. It's about our lives. It's about how to live as God designed and also to show our light in the community. It's also even what should you wear, what should you not wear? Now, I know that's never been discussed before, but for about the last 100 years, every generation says, I can't believe what that next generation is wearing, don't they? Well, is there any kind of communication and understanding and, you see what I'm saying? When does that happen, though? Now, sometimes it does happen from a pulpit lesson. Sometimes it happens in a Bible class lesson. Most of the time, it happens when? One-on-one or a small class situation or a group, right? Okay, I won't leave the guys out. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. You get a bunch of young guys around, do they sometimes start saying things they ought not to say? Right? It doesn't make them look too smart, right? Maybe they're demeaning somebody. Maybe they're speaking in ways that they should not speak. And what happens? If all there is somebody saying, yep, keep it going? Or do we say, no, that's not the way to talk. That's not how to answer back. That's not how to do those things. And so the point here is the Bible lays out in several places, just like in Titus here, that our daily conduct, our not just those foundational doctrine things, but how do you apply them in your daily life, even into different cultures? How do you handle that? Well, that takes some doing. If you were to right now go to certain foreign countries, you couldn't wear what you're wearing, some of you. Right? Or there's a custom that you need to know about so you won't offend someone. See, there's these kind of things that happen. But the application for this is what do we do about this? How do we better teach and admonish one another in these things? Well, I want to lay out some things that if you're taking notes, just jot these down, because they're individual but also collectively as a congregation. Because what these scriptures say is, first of all, we need to seek a teacher. If I know that I am having trouble with something, or I don't know how to handle something, well, who does know that? Let me go seek them, not just the Word of God, but how do I apply this? Who's been through it before, right? If you're baking a cake, it's a good old example, and you're not sure, do I whip the eggs or do I just kind of stir them a little bit, or do I just dump them in? Well, let me call somebody who's made this cake before, right? We do it all the time. But why don't we do that on these other things? But teachers, which is everybody, you need to also seek a student, just like Paul did with Timothy and Titus. Just like it said, the older teach the younger. Well, we can assign everybody somebody, right? Okay, you teach them and you teach them, right? But it's a general principle here. So who are you seeking to say they look like they're having problems? Not necessarily problems, but difficulties or questions or, hey, I know where they're coming from. I once was doing that same thing. Whether, I'll just say I was in band when I was in school. Well, if somebody's in band, I can relate to them, right? Somebody else says, well, I like to crochet. Now, I know that crocheting is easy, and that's why everybody does it. So if you know somebody else that's crocheting, when you have a problem, you know who to call about that thing, right? Whatever the issue is. And then they'll tell you, oh, here's what I figured out. Looky here. Well, wow, I wish I'd known that a long time ago. It'd been a lot easier. Now, why don't we do this with our Christian lives, see? And so this is that community that we have talked about in the Scriptures. And so we need to share our knowledge and experience with each other. Make each other's, what does it say about sharing one another's burdens? And we always think about some sickness or something. Well, sometimes it's no more than, how many of you have ever lost a job? Yeah, now when somebody loses a job, what happens? If that's their first job loss, they think they'll never get another job or something, right? And you say, look, I've been there. I know what you're going through. You see what I'm saying? So that's another example. We need opportunities and the recognition of the need for coaching and mentoring in the practical part of our lives, not just in classroom Bible study. Now, we have many secular teachers and coaches, even in this congregation, and they know the joy of when someone learns and uses that knowledge for the benefit of many people. In fact, I see things all the time that say, once they're my student, they're always my student, right? Even whenever they were in first grade and now they're 40 years old, hi, you're still my student. Why don't we take that same attitude today in the church? Think about the special place in your heart of some teachers that you have when you grew up. Think about that person for a moment, whether it was in school or in the church. Even to this day, years later, you're thinking, wow, they really taught me. They cared about me. They wanted me to learn. I have been bettered because of them, right? And the Bible says about planting and watering, teaching, admonishing. What if... how many of you can say that is the person who taught me this or that? You see? And do you want to be that person? Not for your own glory, but just think, over the years, all the people that have been taught, not just in a Sunday school class setting, But out here in the hallway or in Lads to Leaders or any situation, you said, I was able to teach them something. And they remember that. And they appreciate that. And then they continue that. So who can you ask and imitate? Ask yourself this and be thinking of names. You can write them down. Who can you ask and imitate that is older in the faith? See, this is for everybody. If there's someone older in the faith, because you can ask, I was going to use an example here, but you can't do it and call somebody old anymore, right? So even when you're 80 years old, right, you go ask that 80-year-old, is there somebody in the faith you look up to? They will name somebody, won't they? See? It's not an age thing here. Everybody is going to seek out someone else, either that is older in the faith, has been through some things before, and it may not even be the same person on everything. The second part of this is who can you teach and mentor or coach that is younger in the faith? In other words, you seek out someone else. And this is where it gets kind of hard, right? We have a lot of people in our youth group. I'll go with youth right now. I can't teach all of them. Oh, we hired a youth minister. That took care of that, right? Yeah, he's 25-year-old, knows everything a 50-year-old knows, right? And can teach them, right? No, see? We didn't hire him to teach everything to our kids, right? And so, many times, some of the problems or issues that arise in the church is because there's not a communication between generations. If you're mentoring someone, you get a perspective from them, right? You know why they're doing what they're doing. They understand why you don't want them to do what they're doing. There's a communication. It's just not that group over there and that group over there. See? So it solves a lot of different issues. But the key to it is that if I'm not seeking someone to mentor, if I'm not willing to give them my time and my energy to help someone in the church, am I really going to do it outside the church? Probably not. And we're not talking about every little thing. We're not talking about, we're talking about helping to guide people. And so if everyone is looking for someone that's older in the faith and younger in the faith, everybody has two people, right? Everybody's helping. And so all we really need is half the congregation to be helping the other half, right? Now everybody's helped. It's problem solved. Next thing. Now, who is doing something well that can help you grow in an area? You see, there's some areas that I do pretty good in, and there's some other areas that I need some work, need some help. Well, who's doing that well? See, now it's more specific. And so if I'm having trouble with something, then somebody else, maybe they have struggled with it, maybe they haven't. But it can be all range of things. Well, who can help me in this area that I need to grow in? And then what can you do well that you can share and help others grow? Because there are things and talents and abilities that certain people have that maybe others don't have. That's why there's a bunch of us, so we can all work together, right? And so the practical side of this is if I've got a talent, and I'll just tell you right off, I was kind of disappointed in the team. See, I bragged on them a minute ago. Now I'm a little disappointed in them. There were people that would be like in a high school chorus. They can read music. They can sing. They can do all these things. And then like Lads to Leaders comes along, and it's like, well, sign up for song leading, right? No, I don't want to do that. Well, you're doing it over here, see? You have a talent. You have an ability. Now, use it over here for the Lord. Well, we can encourage that, right? And we can encourage everybody in those ways. Now, many various talents and skills. Some people, they will never do very well, I'll use that terminology, in a worship service. But if you need your plumbing done, they'll be over there and done before you can blink an eye, right? They have a skill, an ability that can help people. So we're not talking about just worship. We're not talking about those things, just like crocheting or whatever it was a minute ago. And so what we're saying is that all our abilities should be used to help the body. But we're also talking about the teaching side of it. What if that man that was really good at plumbing... Wait a minute, we have this, don't we? It's called an apprenticeship, right? See, we do it in a secular world. We have an apprenticeship. We take a master plumber and put him with an apprentice and says, here's how to do it, right? And we do that in several different areas. We do it also in accounting or whatever other area. Let's just apply those same principles in every area of the church so that we're able to edify and build up the church in all areas, not just a few. Also think to yourself, who can you assemble or join with in service and applying your gifts and skills? See, it's not just always a singular thing here. Because, remember, okay, I'll show my age almost. I remember, never attended one, but I remember the quilting bees, right? Several ladies would get together and work on a quilt together. You can work on a quilt by yourself, can't you? But it's more fun if you do it all together. And when you get through with that, you have something to show for your work. You didn't just get together. You got together and did something. Okay, some people like to sing. Where can we sing? Who can benefit from us singing songs about God? Well, let's get together and sing. Okay, what about another one? And we go down the list. So whatever your skill and ability is, who else also likes that? And again, now back to iron sharpening iron. One person can do pretty good, and this person can do pretty good, and you put them together, and a whole lot more gets done, right? Isn't that assembling together to promote love and good deeds? So that's a part of the Christian life. Now, when we all do some, a lot will be accomplished. Yeah. If just a few do it all, does that ever last very long? We've heard of the 80-20 rule, right? 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And if you want something done, you find the busiest person and they'll figure out how to get it done, right? And we all know that's not fair, and we also know that that doesn't last very long. And so let's look for ways to do some. And this is one of those ways, because too often we think that, just like we mentioned this morning, we handed out a involvement sheet, right? And had a whole bunch of stuff on the back that you could check boxes on. There's also some boxes we put back there that said, what else can you do that's not on this list? Remember that little box? See? There may be talents that, oh, we didn't know you could do that. If we'd known that, we can be using that. See? And so, if everybody does a little bit, though, a lot gets done. And it's not burdened on one person. Not only that, but if you actually, and I'm glad to say a whole lot of folks have stepped up lately. A lot of folks have realized they can do some things or have made time and sacrificed or whatever they needed to do to get some things done. Because there are people who can't do some things like they used to because of health or other reasons. And so it's a continual change that's going on. And so there was actually a well, I'll go ahead and talk about the Lads to Leaders program. We do have that program here. And if you will look in the bulletin so many times, it'll say Lads to Leaders, or it's under youth. Lads to Leaders is not just for the kids. Okay? We need adults to what? Coach, mentor, teach the children. There's many different, like 27, 37, I forget the number now, of different types of skills and activities that they can do. Whether it's scripture reading or leading singing, there's also website design. Does the church need website designers? Yeah. Communication to people, video, the whole thing. So people can use their skills in these things. So maybe you don't want to do year-round speech with a group of people. But, hey, I'll show up and do this or that on this one-time project. Or, and again, just ask Casey. He's got a list. Eric's got a list. We need volunteers to do all kinds of things within that program. But not only that program, there was one part of it that we are participating in this year, and it was read the Bible all the way through in chronological order. See? And so we're able to do those things together and do those things to help each other. Now, the key is instead of having just a Lads to Leaders program, we're going to have an all-age program. We're going to do the same concept. Mentoring, teaching, admonishing, encouraging, for all ages. And that's what the church does. We need to train the next generation of workers in the kingdom, but also let them do the work now. I was at a congregation, my dad was at a congregation once, to where a man had led singing there for 50 years. Did a really good job. One day, when he was 80 years old, he died. Who was to replace him? Nobody had led singing there for 50 years. He had always been the song leader. He did not train and develop the one to replace him in his work in the kingdom. See? And we need to think that way, because sometimes we think we've got this thing pretty good. We've got so-and-so doing this and so-and-so doing that, and everything's hunky-dory. Then somebody moves and somebody gets sick and somebody has this, and okay, now who are we going to do? Now who's trained? Now who can do this? So we need to be continually mentoring, teaching, admonishing. And so once we do this within the congregation, then it will be natural to extend outward into the community to do the same thing, both things pertaining to godliness and things even just of service or of helping people do different things in the community. And we need to teach people to teach people. So we need to learn, then practice it, then teach it, then repeat. Learn, practice, teach, repeat. Learn it, practice it, teach it, repeat. And we do this, the church is not going to die at any place. The church will be strong at any place, any community, any congregation, because we're continually building each other up. So today, you're probably saying, well, Paul, you didn't tell me anything new today. Hope not. This has always been this way. I wanted to point out and give direction to getting you thinking individually, what can I do that I'm not doing right now? It's part of the Christian life. And if you're not already a Christian, then yes, you need to become a Christian. You need to put on Christ. You need to turn from your sin in yourself and the world, because that's not going to lead to anything but destruction. And you see, as we teach and they believe that teaching, then they obey that teaching. And part of that obedience is in faith, repentance, and baptism, washing away their sins, becoming a new Christian. Or maybe you started off as a Christian and you just don't, you kind of decided to retire. There's no retirement in Christianity. Maybe you're not putting forth the effort and using your abilities to glorify God, and you need to get back to doing that. Maybe you've had a change in your life. You used to do one thing, but you can't do it anymore, and you're looking for that something else to do. Well, let us know. We'll help you work through that. But we want to give you this opportunity that if you need to make any changes in your life, any correction, or ask for prayers in any way, please come now as we stand and as we sing.
This message has been brought to you by the Scenic Hills Church of Christ in Pensacola, Florida. For questions, comments, prayers, or Bible study, please call, mail, or email us, or visit us on the internet at scenichillschurchofchrist.org. God bless.